Welcome back to the Google Workspace Update podcast from Strawberry 7. My name is Adam.
And my name is Adam.
We're here every week to bring you all of the latest updates happening in the world of Google Workspace. Remember that this podcast is available in audio format from wherever you cast your pods, and also in video format on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Strawberry7.
Coming up on the show today,
we've got four updates for you today, so quite a quick show. We've got updates to Google Calendar, Google Docs, Connected Sheets, and finally Google Meet. As always, there is a link in the podcast or video description to the document that we read from. This document contains some more detailed information, some relevant links, some lovely pictures, and even some moving graphics showing you these features in action. So, let's get to it.
On with the show. So the very first update for everybody this week is to do with Google Calendar. So developers can now choose which calendar events to be notified about. So developers using the Calendar API can now subscribe to specific changes in users' calendars. This includes event types such as working location, out of office, or focus time. This update reduces the amount of notifications down to those that are most relevant to the developer. You can also use the developer documentation for more information about subscribing to alerts for specific calendar event changes, which I've added a link in our document for.
Thank you very much for this, Adam. Now, we're not developers ourselves, so I don't have a lot of experience with this, and I don't know whether you're going to know the answer to this, but I had to read this update a couple of times because I was thinking to myself, it does say notifications to the developers. Does that mean literally notifications to the developer who's working in that company? Or does it mean the notifications that are going through the API that the developer's made? Because I'm thinking it must be the API, surely, not actually to the developer themselves. Because why is the developer themselves going to want to know when, like, Karen in finance has changed a working location? Does that make sense?
I think so, yes. Yeah, I would definitely see it as not the developer, not the person that actually created whatever the API was in the first place, but more of the admin that put the API in place for their organization to use.
Yeah, almost like the API can now use that information. Because if that's what it's saying, that's really, really cool. Like, if I was a developer and I was using the Calendar API and I could suddenly get event triggers on people changing their working location, for example, and then get that to do something in my product, that would be really, really cool. That I can see how that would be really useful. Because, for example, let's say you're developing a product like Salesforce or something, or monday.com or whatever, one of those kind of like platforms that people sit on all day and do their work, and you're using the Calendar API to feed data from Google Calendar into that. When somebody changes their working location, you could just put that on their profile on monday.com or whatever. So, you know, you're a worker at BMW, let's say, and you're on monday.com and you go, oh, I wonder if Robert's in the office today. Oh, Robert. Oh, no, he's not. Because it's kind of gotten that information from their Google. Do you sort of see what I mean about that workflow?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But it's because it says this update reduces the amount of time of notifications down to those that are most relevant to the developer. And it talks very specifically about the developer getting notified. But it's got to be the API capability, surely.
Yes, because If we break this apart a little bit, so then if it's saying that it's now reducing the amount of notifications that so the developer only get the notifications that are most relevant, that implies that previously they were getting loads and loads and loads of notifications, even those that were not relevant. But then, are the notifications such as working location or out of office or focus time relevant to the developer? That would be relevant to the staff or to other people within the organisation for sure, but is that information actually relevant to the developer?
I think this is what it's saying about it is relevant to the developer because it's for their, it's relevant to their customers. It's relevant to how they're using it for their customers. But the thing is, we, like I said, we're not developers. So there might be developers out there listening going, oh, no, 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 you've got this completely wrong. We use those notifications so that we can, I don't know, use it for testing or something like that. I don't know. We're not developers ourselves.
Yeah, I think a couple of examples would have been quite helpful with this little update, yeah. Just for clarity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even the link here is just about subscribing to alerts. It doesn't necessarily tell you what, how they're going to be used. I think the thing is, it's like we've our little caveat, our little get out of jail free card for all of these updates. If you're a developer out there, I'm sure this makes sense to you, and I'm sure you'll understand what this is for. So I think either way, it's great. I think if it's actually the API can now pull this information out, that's really, really cool. I can see how that's really, really useful for developers to be able to kind of like plumb that through to whatever their app is or whatever their platform is. Thank you, Adam. What's the rollout pace and availability, please?
Okay, so this is rolling out to rapid release and scheduled release domains right now, and the Calendar API is available to all Google Workspace customers. However, Calendar features may vary across Google Workspace editions.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because some higher level editions have access to some of those extra features, don't they? Thank you, Adam. What's next, please?
Up next, Google Docs. So, latest improvement for page setup in Google Docs. So, Google is introducing a new menu item within the format option that enables you to easily switch between pageless and pages mode in Google Docs. I don't really like the word pages mode. I thought it would have been paged mode, not pages mode. But,
yeah,
that's just me. They used to throw the word paginated around quite a lot, but apparently they've forgotten that word when creating this update.
Yeah. The person with less vocabulary put this this one together. Mind you, that's quite good because Google usually throw in a very, very complicated words that confuse us, or certainly confuse me anyway. All I was going to say, Adam, was how much do you like this update? I know you love a pageless mode, don't you?
Yes, we do like this update. And I was hoping when they say, when it literally says pages mode, that that was just the phrase that they've used for this. But no, it literally is called pages mode. And we can see it live right now for us. If we literally just go to format, then along the top of our Google Docs, then we'll just see the option to switch to pages format or switch to pageless.
Yeah. I suppose the thing is, if it's pageless, I suppose pages does make sense, I guess. I understand what you mean about
pageless. I was going to say, yeah, if you're already in pageless mode, then you'll understand what it means when it says switch to pages format.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think this is great. I mean, I think you're more of a fan of pageless mode than me, but that's not to say I'm not a fan, because I think pageless mode is fantastic. I think it's one of the best features of Google Docs. And when it came out, we both loved it and we use it all the time. Like you say, we use it on this document, for example. So I think this is really good. And I really, really like the fact that they've put this in the menu. I don't think it needs to be a button on the kind of taskbar, because I think that's a bit too much. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to be switching, or you're only going to do it once. But it being in the menu is great, because to refresh anybody's memory as to how you switch between this before, you'd have to go File, Page Setup, then find the section for it, switch it, go OK, and then you switched it. So just having it in the format option, in the format toolbar, is very, very good. And finally, the only other thing I was going to say about it was I think it's really good that Google are making it more prominent, because it's such a good feature that they've created and I think is a little bit unique to them. So I thought you would like this a lot, Adam, this update.
Yes, definitely, yeah. And so as you were kind of saying, so it wasn't like super hidden away or anything, or wasn't super difficult to do it previously, whereas this just keeps it just keeps it super simple. Really, yeah, and so it's nice and there. And of course, with this update and many other features within Google Docs as well, there is also the search menu that they did introduce a few months ago. So you can always just literally go to the search bar, type in pageless or something. So right now I can see under pageless, we've got a tick next to pageless because the document that I'm looking at right now is already in pageless mode. So that is also an option as well. But I do like having this this feature just kind of just there. It's quicker to access, yeah. which is good.
Yeah, I agree with what you've said there. I think the thing is, I think you're right that it wasn't difficult to access as long as you knew it was there.
Precisely. It's always easy when you know. But if you don't know, then where are you going to look? It wasn't necessarily an obvious location to go to.
Well, also, what I mean is if somebody's using Google Docs for the first time and all they've been experiencing is horrible Microsoft Word, they're not necessarily going to think to themselves, oh, I'll go and put this document into pageless mode. Like, what I mean is they might even not know that feature even
They may
exists.
Just discover it by looking around the menu, trying to work on their document naturally.
Now it's in the menu, exactly. They can kind of see it there, but before, they would have had to have gone into page setup, and I can imagine somebody not going into page setup for, like, 2 years of using Google Docs, and then suddenly they see this pageless thing and go, oh my God, I never even knew that was there. I never even knew I could do that. Obviously, I should be listening to our podcast, but, you know, they might have missed that episode. So I really like it. I think it's great that they've put it in the format menu. I think it's going to make it a lot easier for new people to find it. People like us who use it all the time to use it all round. I think that's a good move by Google. What's the rollout pace and availability, please?
Okay, so rollout to rapid release is already complete. Launch to scheduled release was planned for February the 5th, and that has been and gone, so that should also be complete by now as well. This update is available to all Google Workspace customers, Google Workspace individual subscribers, and users with a personal Google account. Basically, anyone that has access to Google Docs, which is pretty much anyone with a Google account, really. I've also added a lovely link in our document if anybody would like to learn more about changing a document's page setup. So that link is in our document. But as I mentioned, you literally just go to format and you just see the option to switch to pages format or pageless. So it's as simple as that, really.
Yeah, easy to find. Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Adam. What have we got next, please?
Up next, this is a two-in-one, actually, all to do with Connected Sheets. So there's new ways to work with filters in Connected Sheets for Looker and Connected Sheets for BigQuery. So Connected Sheets for Looker users will now be able to see whether Looker-defined filters, always filters, and conditionally filters are applied in their Google Sheets. Connected Sheets for BigQuery users can now right-click any value in the Connected Sheets preview and filter rows in the preview of that specific value. As a result, a new query will be sent to BigQuery to refetch the preview. This new option provides an additional way to easily explore data in the Connected Sheets preview for BigQuery.
Okay, I mean, again, you know, we don't use Connected Sheets, we don't use Looker, so I don't know quite what this looks like, but I do know Connected Sheets is very similar to Google Sheets in how it looks and everything
like
that.
It's more features. It's more features. We always like more features.
Yeah, and it can handle something like 2 billion rows or something insane, can't it? Although I don't know what this looks like and we don't use it, again, like we said before, I can still see how this is going to be useful for people who do use it. The fact that you're going to be able to, I mean, if we're looking at the first one, which is Looker, the fact that people are going to be able to go in and just see whether those filters are on, which I think is what it's saying here, now be able to see whether Looker-defined filters, always filters, and conditionally filters are applied. I can see how that's going to be very useful, especially when you're collaborating on a sheet. One of your colleagues may have put a conditional filter on. You go in, you're looking at those huge quantities of data, and you may think to yourself, oh, that's it, and not realise that there's a conditional filter on there, for example.
Literally, especially when you are dealing with billions and millions of rows, you need to be able to see things. You need to keep it as simple as possible, and at a glance, know, is this filter on or not? Because otherwise, I imagine you'll just drive yourself nuts trying to decipher those millions of rows.
Yeah, that's right. I think you've nailed it with what you said there at a glance, you know, to see where those filters are on. So that's really good. And then the other one I can understand a little bit easier, which is clicking on any value and just being able to preview the filter. So what's that saying there? You can now right-click any value in the Connected Sheet preview and filter rows in the preview on that specific value. Yeah, so it must bring up kind of like a preview window and then give you just the filtered results in that, which again sounds really, really nice to just be able to click on that one value, not to have to, I imagine the way it used to work, go all the way to the top kind of go to the filters, it show you everything, and then you have to type in the value and remember what it is and something, it's always going to be easier to just right click and go, can you just show me this stuff, just that thing that I'm clicking on, you know?
Yes. So I'd say, so anyone using connected sheets, either with Looker or BigQuery, both of these updates do sound like it's going to be really helpful.
Yeah, I agree. So there's different rollout and availability on each of these? Is that how this is working?
Okay, so for the Looker side of this update, rolling out to rapid release and scheduled release domains right now, and that is available to all Google Workspace customers, Google Workspace individual subscribers, and users with a personal Google account. I've also added a couple of links in our document if anybody would like to learn more about the always filter and conditionally filter within Looker. For the BigQuery update, this is now available to all Google Workspace customers, Google Workspace individual subscribers, and again users with a personal Google account, and I've added another link in our document if anybody would like to learn more about sorting and filtering BigQuery data in Google Sheets.
Great, that's really, really useful, Adam. Thank you very much. What's our last update this week, please?
So finally from us this week, which is a bit more relatable for us, we actually use this one. We can
yep.
We have more experience with it. This is to do with Google Meet. So Google Meet hosts can now pin multiple tiles for all meeting participants. So if you're a meeting host or co-host, you can now pin up to 3 specific tiles for all meeting participants. In doing so, you can help ensure the meeting is focused on key presentations and speakers. This is especially helpful for large meeting scenarios like webinars where hosts need to focus everyone on particular content. Note that meeting participants can unpin the tiles from their screen if they wish.
Oh, that's a really useful point to know, actually, that the participants can actually kind of override that almost and unpin. Yeah, you're right, Adam. This is a lot more of a relatable update in terms of, for us anyway, in the fact that we use
because
this.
Because I think this stems on, I think it must have been just before Christmas. I think they introduced this feature where you could definitely pin, I want to say 2 tiles. So it's very, very similar to this update where you could pin 2 tiles for everybody to see. I think they've now extended it to 3 tiles. I can't actually remember if the users had the option of unpinning tiles them before, but it's this is a bit of an extension of an update we had just before Christmas.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I thought exactly the same thing when I was reading it. Yeah, when I was reading it, I thought, oh, hang on a minute, this must be, like you say, an extension of the previous update where they brought in this feature where you could pin. I think the key thing for that update previously, and is the same with this update, is the fact that as the host, you can pin it for everybody else. That's the big thing of this. And it's like it says in the update here, it's really, really useful when you've got those large meetings. You know, if you've got, I don't know, 50 participants or something, you're doing like a big webinar or like it says there, you know, a big presentation, then you can just pin those people who are speaking. And of course, keep that a bit dynamic as well, because you might have 6 speakers and you might have 2 people speaking at any one time. So you can pin those 2, then they hand over to another 2 and you unpin those and pin the other ones back on. Hence, it's very good that it's a host or a co-host as well.
Precisely, yes. Yeah, I can definitely see how this would be very, very helpful. So I'm kind of thinking that because 3 tiles can always be pinned, I'm just assuming that one of those is always going to be some presentation, some video, some focus points, and then you can have your other tiles, whether that's a host and a co-host. Maybe it's just there's just a single host, and maybe someone's doing sign language or something to everyone else on the meeting.
Good point.
Something along those lines. So I can definitely see how having 3 tiles pinned for everybody will be really helpful.
Really good point about sign language. I hadn't thought about that. That's a really, really good point, Adam.
Just as you mentioned, I do particularly like that you now very easily have the option to pin the tiles for everybody or just yourself.
Yes, I completely agree on that. Yeah, the just for all of our listeners, there's a moving graphic showing this feature in action. And Adam's absolutely right. When they're going to pin this example on, I must say, Adam, a very, very handsome and well-dressed man. He looks so sharp. I wish I looked that good. He looks amazing. When they're going to pin him, it's a option of pinning it just for you, it says just for myself or for everybody. So I'd definitely be pinning him for everybody. I think everybody should marvel at how
when
sharp
I first
he is.
Saw him, I actually thought, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he looks just like the actor in The Flash. And I thought, oh really?
Oh, you like that, don't you?
So, I didn't realise that he also worked for Google.
Maybe he was just in a little presentation for them, motivational speaking or something like that. I know you like The Flash. I haven't seen it myself. So, he looks very, very handsome. I wish I dressed that smart. Wow. I'm going to take some tips from him, I think. No, this is a really nice update. It's very, very good. I'm very impressed with what Google's done here. I think this is only going to be beneficial for people, right? It's like we said about these updates before. It's there. You don't have to use it. It's not disrupting anybody who doesn't want to use it. It's just an additional option that you've got.
Yes, absolutely. So this feature will be available for Google Meet on the web and on mobile devices. So the only thought that I had on that, so if you're using one of these large screen Android devices that we have mentioned a couple of times before, great. Mm-hmm. However, if you're just joining on your mobile phone or something, I'm not sure how good the experience of pinning multiple tiles would be, because I have been on a meeting on my phone before, and I think it only kind of works well if you just have a single tile on your screen at a time, because I'm not using a large screen device, so you can only really see one person at a time. So I'm just a bit curious what the experience would be like if somebody has pinned three tiles, but you're just on your phone that actually has a small screen. Will that actually squeeze all three into your small screen, or would you still actually only see one?
Especially if you've got a presentation involved in that as well. But then at least you've got that nice option of you as the viewer can unpin those people. So if you are running out of screen real estate, you can unpin them. It's definitely like anything, isn't it? Yeah, it's like anything in IT, isn't it? You've always got to make a little bit of a compromise with all of these
different devices.
Find
what works for you.
Yeah. It's like, what I mean is, as a developer, you've kind of got to try and appease lots of different people, and sometimes you just have to kind of go down the middle ground and hope that it's going to be okay for most scenarios. Thank you, Adam. What's the getting started rollout pace and availability, please?
Okay, so getting started for the admins, there is no admin impact nor action required. But for the end users, you can visit Google's Help Center if you'd like to learn more about pinning content in Google Meet. I've added a link in our document for that. But the process to do this is very simple. You can literally, there is a moving graphic within our document as well, if anybody would like to see it in action. But you simply hover your cursor over a tile and you'll see a pin icon. Literally click on that, and then it will just ask you if you want to pin it just for yourself or pin it to everybody. And it sounds like you should be able to do this for up to three tiles. So that is the process for doing that. Rollout pace, though. So rapid release and scheduled release. There is an extended rollout for this update, so potentially longer than 15 days for feature visibility, which started on February the 5th. And this update is going to be available to all Google Workspace customers.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Adam. Well, that is it, everybody. That's all of the updates that you need to hear about everything that's happening in the world of Google Workspace for this week. Remember that this podcast is available in audio format from wherever you cast your pods, and also in video format on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/strawberry7. Thank you very much for joining us this week.
And we'll be back again next week with more updates.
Goodbye.
Bye.